Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Right?
Like you said, the lower body is going to really come to play in the spot.
It's a fun one. Back, ass, and legs. I'm tuned in. I got me. I'm hooked.
Frank's mad at me. We're just going to start
right
now.
I'm not mad.
You're mad.
I'm not mad.
He totally mean mugged me.
No.
Yo, what's up? Chris Sims Unbuttoned here. We got a good podcast for you. It's the Monday Podcast. And as you're hearing this right now, I'm not really here. This is pre-recorded. Okay, yes, I'm on a beach in the Caribbean looking at my wife, okay, and white sand beaches and crystal clear water and probably dunking my kids in the ocean as we speak, okay? That's what I'm doing. But did some interviews with some really awesome players and personalities while I was down at Radio Row at the Super Bowl. Today, we got four good ones. We got Dak Prescott. We have a fun conversation, a lot of giggles, get into some quarterback geek stuff. You're going to like that. Frank Gore. Please tune in to Frank Gore. Frank Gore, NFL legend. I did come around to saying he was a Hall of Famer, but he had heard earlier in the year that I was on the fence about it. And let me just tell you, he lets me have it in the beginning of this podcast. He was pissed at me, and he wanted to fight me, and I think he was mean-mugging me. I don't think he really wanted to do the interview, but he was backed into a corner and too far in till he realized it was me, so we got that done. So listen to Frank, and I knew Frank before I made these comments, and this is the problem with my job, so that's worth listening to. Then I got Tariq Cohen, friend of the podcast, my old Hebrew buddy from Chicago, my man. Always have fun with him. And then last but not least, Aaron Jones of the Green Bay Packers. Had a lot of fun with him. His family comes up. We have some good interaction, talk about the Packers. Hope everybody enjoys it. I'm enjoying myself on the beach right now. I can tell you that. Please listen in and have fun with these guys.
Oh, looky what we have here. If this isn't the old starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. I first wanted to show you this. Well, first off, you know how we started off last year, right? I'm Chris Sims, a.k.a. the Big Spoon. Here's Dak Prescott, a.k.a. the Small Spoon. All right, you remember that? Look at this picture. This is my Twitter avatar. Me saying this to you.
Yeah, you trying
and
to.
And you going like, who the hell is this guy? I've never met you before. Why are you talking about my legs and spooning? Right?
Yeah, something like that.
That's what that face says. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. First off, great year. You're the man. You really are. Enjoy watching you play. You're a great leader. First thing I really want to talk to you about, really, because I am into, like, evaluating guys' bodies and things like that. You're built differently than most quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be all weird, but I want to hear, like, you know, what do you do during the season, off season, like squatting, benching? I want to hear numbers too. I want you to brag about it.
Numbers. I don't have any numbers for you probably since sophomore year of college.
Yeah, I know you're not trying to break records
anymore. Yeah, not trying to do that anymore, but I'm fortunate. I've kind of always been a bigger guy, always had bigger legs. So I've been fortunate. I mean, I was actually once told in college to get weak or to lose some strength. I was getting too big.
Yeah.
And coach, hey, lose some strength. You don't need that. Get the flexibility going. For the most part, I try to eat good the best I can, which is why I start my day off with Oikos, Triple Zero Greek. And as I was telling you, I'm not a big breakfast person.
Me neither.
I like to stay light. I like to be light and feel that way. So what Oikos Triple Zero does, it allows me to get all the energy, to get the protein, to get everything I need,
right,
the nutrients, and to still feel light and to go about my day. And I've been partnered with him since 2017. Thankful to be here. I get to be in Miami and get to hang out with you and talk to you. So it's a great partnership. But there's a reason my body's like it is.
Damn. You see that? You see that shit? That's why he's a franchise quarterback. Did you just see that? It was the best sell job of the week. And I do want some free Oikos for all you guys out there after this, all right?
We got you.
I got early starts in the morning. All right, so, but right now, just to back on that, like the workouts thing, you work out, you lift weights, but you're not like, you're not killing it in the weight room. You're just staying toned.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I take some time off. Obviously, didn't make the playoffs. I've taken about this month off. I'll start up next week lifting before I start throwing and stuff, lifting and running. And as you said, it's to maintain. I'm strong enough at this point. I want to get better, and I want to get a little stronger, but I'm not trying to PR. I'm not trying to break some record I had in college.
Yeah,
it's about staying toned. And at this point, it's my flexibility. It's huge for me right now. As you know, throwing the ball, so working on that a lot.
Yeah, and I want to get into that in a minute, but I just want to ask about some like relevant news. First off, Mike McCarthy, the coaching change, all that. I mean, have you talked to Mike yet?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you are. How much have you? Just hi, how are you?
How are you? Shared a phone call. Shared the excitement, obviously, from both ends. Just excited to play under him. The guys won a Super Bowl, and anytime, that's what I want. That's what I want to win.
I know so, you do.
When you've got a coach that's won that, and it gives you something. He's got the formula. He's got the way to do it, and that's enough for me to follow. That's enough for our locker room to follow, and we're excited for that.
Are you the type of guy that will like call Aaron Rodgers just to be like, let me get a feel for my coach? Or no, I didn't think
no,
you would be.
Not at all. I don't care to get a feel from somebody else off of their judgment or their relationships. I know relationships are completely individual, and I don't even want to warp my mind off of what somebody else. Thanks.
Damn, you're good, man.
Appreciate
you're good.
It.
You got all the fucking right answers. You really do. You know, you're for you as a quarterback, I know you're not used to this kind of interview.
I love it.
You're not.
I love it. Yeah.
When you like who are quarterbacks that you like watching right now in football? Like who's the guys that you're excited on a Sunday night or a Monday night when you're done with your day or whatever,
yeah.
You just go, let me check this guy out.
Probably the most excited, the guy that's playing this Sunday.
Yeah, he
Mahomes.
Is. Yeah.
Anytime he's on or I've got to break down a team that he's played, that's one of the first games that I'm going to go watch. Just how aggressive he is, how talented he is. Then you combine that with the way Andy Reid calls the game,
right.
Aggressive, and then with the talent he has around him. That offense and what he does is just so impressive, so fun to watch. But there's tons of other guys around the league. I like watching Deshaun, Carson. I like watching Carson Wentz. There's a bunch of guys that you can take and you can pull something from to help yourself, but admire a bunch of guys game around the league.
Yeah, like speaking of that, like who's anything that comes to mind when you say that, like stealing something from somebody or something they do mechanically? I see you know, you're famous for your hip drill and
right.
Doing that. I saw you know, a few articles where you talked about, you know, mechanics and working with people a little bit last year.
Yeah.
You know, how do you go about that, staying on top of all that?
Yeah, I mean, I started training with John Beck and some guys last couple of years ago, and it's
right.
Part of the 3D training, and it allows my body and all that to come in. So somebody that when I think about the perfect position to throw the ball and they're always in it is Drew Brees.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You think about his size and the way that he's just able to make any throw and every throw on the field. He's always in the perfect position, whether it's his feet, his lower body, all the way till he releases the ball.
Right.
So he's the... When I'm doing my warm-ups before the game, the whole Dak dance that people think are funny,
I mean,
I'm even thinking about Drew Brees as I'm doing that. So, he's one of the best at it.
What's the one thing, like, I had my bad habits as a thrower where I always would go back to my dad, right? Like,
yeah.
I'd get back in July after OTAs and be like, you know, dad would be like, oh, let's go out and throw. And then, you know, he'd tell me, you're going to throw it like that? You got to fix this, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he was my guy to do that. What is your one little staple that you always feel like, oh, I got to stay on top of that? Like, I always kind of revert into a bad, you know,
yeah.
a bad example or whatever.
Yeah, so if I just keep my weight in my back leg and that bending that ankle first and getting all my cleats into the ground, when I do that, there's not a throw on the
you
field
stripe
that
it
I
every
can't
time.
Make.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's where I want to be. And so even walking around sometimes, I'm doing that. I'm getting in that position because I want that position to be – so routine, so normal, so a part of everything that I do that I never get in that habit that I had of getting on my front foot again, trying to break that.
Right, so that's what it is. It's the front foot. You
yes.
get leaning forward too much.
Wait,
sometimes
wait,
I see your
fast.
Front leg almost like lock out
exactly.
in ways, right?
Exactly.
I watch you throw.
That was my bad habit, and that's what I've been trying to break. So
yeah.
The less I can do that of putting all my weight on my front foot so early, the better I am.
Yeah, right. Okay. That's I've noticed that about you, and I thought that's what you were trying to correct. I just didn't know, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
I want to ask you this too. Gripping the football, right?
Yeah.
How are you I'm a 2-5 guy.
So I'm one. I mean, I only really have one one finger on there.
So you're 2-5.
Yeah, 2-5.
Two
so
and
I mean,
under five.
I try to get as close to the top of the football as I can.
Yeah, I see you with that finger up there.
Yeah, I mean, and I even joke like that sometimes. They say Bradshaw or somebody
he
used
did.
To throw
Bradshaw
like that, right?
Did. Yeah, yeah,
so,
he
I mean,
did.
I'm barely off of the top of the ball, and yeah, so two and below five.
Two and below five. There's a lot of guys that do that in football. Yeah. You know what's amazing to me, and I should have been a better, like, interviewer here and asked you another question about Mahomes, and I didn't do it. Mahomes only puts his pinky on number two. Can you even imagine? Yeah, that's what he does. And that's how Lamar Jackson does it. Doesn't the ball seem weird in your hand that way? I couldn't throw it like that.
Not at all. All right? I feel like it's too much like in my palm.
It's too in your palm, right? You can't get it out of your hand. I know.
I wonder their hand size.
Their hands are smaller
you know
than
I mean?
Ours.
Yeah,
they're smaller than ours for sure.
Yeah, I couldn't throw the ball at all like
no,
that.
No, I can't
I'd
either.
I'd be pushing it.
And I'm always amazed with, like, Mahomes, his flexibility in his arm, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing that, like, jumps out to me.
So impressive. I mean, I think he'll probably tell you best, probably baseball, but talking about being in the position, using your body, no matter when he throws or how he throws, to me it's that back hip. He's always getting his back hip through.
Through it.
And I think that's why he's able to make every throw, and it's so impressive. It doesn't matter if the ball is under his knee or on the other shoulder. He gets the ball out, and it's accurate. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, it is fun to watch. You're fun to watch, man.
Appreciate
All right, what's going to be better, like signing a new contract or not having to answer questions about getting a new contract? Which will actually be better?
That's tough. Probably signing the contract.
I think so.
Let's be honest.
Well, let's be honest. How many zeros will I have in my account? That is better than answering the question or not answering the question.
Right.
You the man. Like, I really enjoy watching you.
Appreciate
right?
it.
Oikos, I'm going to be on it like him. Not going to have a leg and ass like him, but I'm going to be on it, all right?
Yeah, like you said, they're alone. The Super Bowl spot is going to be a great one. Check it out on social media later in the week. The whole dance.
Right.
Like you said, the lower body. It's going to really come to play in this spot.
Oh, baby.
Check it out. It's a fun one.
Yeah, Dak ass and legs. I'm tuned in. I got me. I'm hooked.
That's awesome.
Yo, check me out on Twitter, @CSimsQB. Got lots of cool things to look at. Hey, I'm always giving my thoughts about football. We got some great clips, face smash, some things from players we had fun with at Radio Row. Get at me on Instagram, @SimsUnbuttoned, okay? You know, again, I'm always trying to show videos, breakdowns of plays, players, thoughts that are going on, recent news in football. And I'm going to continue to make this stride to interact with everybody, whether it's a podcast or me doing more Instagram lives or whatever it may be. I want to make you, the fans, part of my podcast. That's why I'm doing this, is to educate, to have fun. I love this sport. I want people to challenge me. I hope everybody out there can respect it. @CSimsQB on Twitter, @SimsUnbuttoned on Instagram. Yo, what's up? Chris Sims Unbuttoned here. I am with an NFL legend, Frank Gore. He is representing Lowe's today, okay? Mm-hmm. And we're going to get on that because we both got paid from Lowe's this year, all right? I bet you your check's bigger than mine. I know that. Frank's mad at me. We're just going to start
it
right
now. I'm not mad. I'm not mad.
You're mad.
I'm not mad.
He totally mean mugged me.
No.
And to give background, because I know where this is, because I've heard you say you listen to everybody.
I listen to everything.
And I know you do. And we've had dinner together when you're out in San Francisco. But I did say I was on the fence about Frank Gore being a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
All right? I did say that.
But why you feel like that?
Why that? I know. Yeah. And let me just state this, too, okay?
I'm going to tell you my facts. I'm going to tell you what.
I know. You do. Tell me all in right. 1 second. And I think you're the man, okay? I got mad
respect. I know.
I know we got respect. I got mad respect. I'd known about you since you were in high school. I was people were telling me about you. But, I guess my thing is, all right, I have – sometimes I struggle with amount of years and maybe the conversation of how many years you were maybe a top three, top four, top five running back in the league. All right.
Okay.
Go ahead. Shit on me all you want. It's all yours. Go ahead.
Well, I will say, you know, my first 6 years in San Fran.
Yeah.
You know, not to down any of my teammates I played with.
I got you.
When you came to Candlestick Park.
Yeah.
You only knew one guy on the offense who they had to start.
Right.
And that was me.
So Valid point.
So I'm like this. As a running back,
yeah.
if it's the more you got, the more help you got, the easier it is.
Yeah.
And not saying my guys didn't play, didn't work hard, because, you know, I'm big on team, and I respected them guys who I played with. But name a guy my first 6 years who you would be afraid of outside.
Yeah.
game planning wise.
Yeah.
I know. You're right. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I'm like, as a back, man, like, I'm going to give you a prime example.
Right.
And not, if you, like Le'Veon in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, right.
He had Big Ben. He had AB.
Sure.
He had Juju.
Right.
He had, you know, so you can't put 8-9 men in the box.
Yeah. Yeah. I get you there.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
So it should be easier.
That's a valid point.
In my first 6 years, I had 4.5 yards to carry.
Yeah. Right.
With really nothing. They say my man Alex was a bust. I played with so many different quarterbacks.
Right.
You know, and you know, that's hard on a running back when you playing I played eight, nine man front almost my whole career.
I know.
If you go look at the stats, I played 8-9 man fronts my whole career. That's so hard.
Yeah.
And I still stayed over 4 yards of carry, still getting 1,300 yards a season.
I know. And this is where I get it. And you're right.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm not the flashiest guy. I'm not. You know what I'm saying? But I got the job done.
Right. Dude. No, you definitely got the job done. And I'm glad you're keeping this conversation real with me, because that is a really valid point.
But I'm being real. I read it. It motivates me.
Good.
You know,
I figured it would. It used to motivate me.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so you saw what I said.
Yeah,
and that,
yeah.
Okay.
But everybody got their opinion.
Yeah.
Everybody got their opinion.
I hope you can respect Modo. Yeah,
everybody
I'm trying
got
to say.
Their opinion. Yeah.
And
got
I really
their
respect your game, man.
Right, I appreciate it.
I do. And I know you have superstar talent. And what always gets me is what you would have been without the knee injuries. That's where I go. That would be scary to see what Frank Gore really would have been. I have Greg Schiano, right? You know Greg Schiano, right? Was he down in Miami with you at all?
Well, he just left.
He just left, right?
When I got there, he just left.
He was from my high school, right?
Okay.
So I known him. So I can remember him telling the story. Miami's coming up to Rutgers. Yep. Now he's the head coach. Yep. And they take out
Portis.
Yes. And the defensive coordinators are all going, oh, thank God, Portis and McGahee are out or whatever. And he goes, oh, no, it's going to be worse, guys. We're in trouble. Frank Gore's coming in. And that was like one of the first times I knew you were like, because him telling me that was mm-hmm. like, oh, gosh, Frank Gore's that talented? He's that special?
I was blessed, man.
You were blessed.
I was blessed. You know, like you say, the two knee injuries. And like I tell people, it wasn't hard for me. It wasn't easy to get here for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To get to the NFL. Like,
I know.
You know, two knee surgeries, two shoulders. And people wrote me off even before I got drafted. So when I got drafted to San Fran, when they told me, you know, they reached for me in the third round.
Right.
And, you know, I just told myself, man, I want to show everybody that, you know, San Fran did the right thing. And my 10 years there, man, I felt like I did it right there, man.
You've done it right everywhere. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, like I said, I hope you can respect where I was coming from. I ultimately said you were a Hall of Famer. I just said on the fence.
It don't matter, though. You know, everybody got an opinion. Everybody not going to be.
I'm not always right.
Yeah. And so I'm not mad. You know, but you did help me, though.
Okay,
it
good.
Get me going.
Well, wait,
so,
I'm
so
not.
So thank you.
No, I knew we were in trouble because I was excited to see you because I love you, the person and the player.
Appreciate it.
And I know we had dinner one night a few years back, and I had a lot of fun with you. But I'm not joking. He turned the corner, and we made eye contact, and he was saying a bunch of four-letter words in his brain. A bunch of them. He was
man.
Oh, man, I got to talk to this jerk.
No,
Sims.
But you helped me, dude.
Okay,
you
good.
Me.
I'm glad I could help in
you
some
me.
Way.
I appreciate
all right,
it.
All right, man. I really don't mean to. That's the worst part about my job. It really is. It's because I got to have a stance every now
right,
and then.
Right.
All right, so I'm sorry about that. Hopefully we can have love from here on out.
Right hand.
Right hand?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Bam. I'm a lefty. I'm all fucked up. See, I told you. All right, I mean, I want to go back to, like, your Miami days a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Just, like, at that time, did you recognize how talented that team was when you were that age, when you were in that moment? Like, did you realize there was, like, a bunch of NFL Pro Bowlers and all pros on the team?
Yeah, I did. You know, just when I first got there, man, we doing you know, when you're a freshman, you come in, you do summer workout, and I'm like, man, I'm getting killed. I'm like, man, I think I made the wrong decision, man, about coming here, because I'm getting beat by linebackers. I'm getting beat by, like, all big guys. I said, man, I might can't play here.
Right.
And once we got to practice, man, just how fast and how competitive, like, the game, like, practice was. Then once I started playing in games, the game was so slow. And I was like, man, it's like, I thought college football was very easy, man, my freshman year.
Right.
Yeah, it was because so much competition we had, you know, coming at that 2001 team, man. Like, you got to look at it. me, Sean Taylor, God bless his soul.
Yeah.
Antrell Roll, Kellen Winslow, Roscoe Parrish. Man, we
linebackers, DJ Williams.
But I'm saying, like, we was freshmen, we was good ball players, but we was on the bench.
Right.
I'm running down playing kickoff, man.
Right.
And I'm like, man, like, I never, you know.
I'm playing kickoff?
Yeah, man.
I'm supposed to be toting the rock three times a game.
But, you know, we had top guys. Like, we had Portis, we had McGahee, we had Najee. So, and I respected that because they came to practice, they did the right thing every day. So that's why I thought we were so good, because we had so much depth at every position.
You really did. I actually said it this morning. To me, that was the greatest 3 years of one college team. I think it was the greatest college football team I ever saw. Mm-hmm. Did you used to have, like, was there crazy competitions between the running backs?
Portis, like, he'll be like, because he was my roommate night before the games. Portis would be like, I'm going to play the first half. I'm going to get 100 and something. If you outrush me, I'll take you to dinner, or I'll, you know. So Portis was like, he was the one like really like make competition up
the ringleader.
And sometimes he'll be like, hey, if you fall off, you ain't doing it, I'm coming back in the game. So I'll be like, oh, I can't let him, you know. So man, I think that's why we're so good, dude.
Yeah, it was a I witnessed the greatness of Miami at my first rookie symposium, right? Uh-huh. And I always thought, man, it's Miami. It's, you know, the convicts and all that, right? Like, they just play football and then they party on South Beach. Nah, they don't work hard and anything like that. That's what I was blown away by.
Andrew Sway,
dedication.
Oh, man.
You guys had guys that, like, lived it. And you had guys, when I was at the rookie symposium, I was talking about, they were going out on jogs. Mm-hmm. Like, and I was like, man, what are the Miami guys doing? Oh, we just went out for a workout. And I was like, damn. No wonder you were Miami and we were Texas.
That's why we're so good, man.
Right.
I take my hat off to Coach Andrew Swayze here at FIU now. And, man, he used to tell us, like, if we want to be great, we had to stay up on our game. You had to stay up on your game because you had the next man was probably better than you.
Right.
You know, so, man, that's why we're so special, man.
Yeah, you're special. You're special, okay? And I'm really, like, my heart's hurt that I've made you feel bad,
man.
Okay? You
but
got
no,
it.
No, but you helped me, though.
I know I did, but I still feel bad. You know, and that look you just gave me, like you were going to kick the crap out of me, scared me. I'm not going
to
lie.
You know, when you get at a certain age, you know, you need little things like that to keep you going. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate you.
All right. I know you do. You talked about it like, you know, maybe I'm not the flashiest running back or, like, the sexiest that way. But to you, what is it about you? What's your number one skill? Like, whether it was in your prime or what is it?
I pay attention to a lot of details. It's details. And just getting in and out of, like, small spaces, you know, like a cat. And I feel like, you know, as a running back, you don't have to be the fastest guy because you barely get 80, 90-yard runs, you know.
Right.
So what I like to work on, my footwork, like, getting into jumping in and out of cuts, getting, you know, like,
that's where you're amazing.
Yes.
Okay.
Knowing my blocking scheme, knowing where, okay, especially when once I understand who my lineman is and what they're good at.
Right.
Oh, man, once I catch that rhythm, it's over.
Are you a big off season, like, what do you do to train? What has made you who you are? Like, are you a ladder guy? Are you doing agility drills? Are you a weightlifter?
I do a lot of positional drills. Like,
right.
what carry over to the football field.
Right.
Like, a lot of small space stuff, getting in and out of holes. And I also like working with younger guys, like, who supposed to be top guys at my position. Like, my man Devin Singletary, who's going to be a special back in this league.
Right.
Like,
hated on him a little bit coming out of the draft.
He's not the fastest.
Right.
You know, but, man, you're talking about, like, got great eyes, great feet. And he's stronger than what people think.
He is. Hey, that's where he got me.
And man, like me working out with him, working out with James White, you know, just keeping myself honest, you know, working out with younger guys. And
right.
If I could keep up with them in the offseason with my knowledge of the game and what I done been through so much, you know, I'd be fine, you know.
Yeah, all right. I mean, now Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
Do you root for the Niners because of your history there?
Yeah, I love them.
I
love Jed, man.
Yeah, right. Great guy.
Jed family been great to me.
Yeah.
You know, they gave me the first opportunity to even reach my childhood dreams.
Right. All right, so I know you're doing something for Lowe's.
Uh-huh.
I know you're a Hall of Fame running back. Let's see how you are as a pitchman.
Right. Well, tomorrow we go Lowe's and, you know, we're building together. We're going down to my neighborhood in Coconut Grove and, you know, we're building – 9 houses and also 200 people coming, and man, I'm very excited, man, that I'm going back to my neighborhood to go out and help some of the houses I will know.
Right.
You know, some of the people who, because I still go down to my neighborhood, and then hopefully some of the people who, you know, pass by, seeing me building and stuff. I hope they come join me, man. So I'm happy to be a part of this, man.
Dude, you're a great human. That's really cool you're doing that with Lowe's. Huh? Like, way to go, Lowe's. And, like, we're Lowe's buddies, okay?
Let's go, baby.
Lowe's, all right? I mean, I got on – they were crazy enough to put me on a commercial this year, okay? I understand you being on it, but I'm on it. And, like, dude, I know what I said. I know, but I got mad respect.
Thank you.
Hope you know that.
Thank you. I really do.
Can we hug it out?
Yeah,
can I get a hug? Come on, man. I can get a hug.
I do.
Because I actually feel about as guilty. I honestly, I'm not going to lie, Frank. I felt guilty saying it on TV. Because I knew people had told me you watch everything.
I do.
And I almost chickened out of being true to myself.
But you helped me, dude.
I get good. I'm glad
Especially, I helped you somehow.
You
know, 15 years.
Right.
I said, okay, I got it. I'm going to show them that I still got it.
All right, good.
A lot of guys at my age ain't do it like me.
And you're still going to keep going, huh?
I'm going to see.
You know, I'm
going to wait to March.
Right.
You know, and see, you know, what team really want me. But I still feel good. I still feel like I know I still can play.
Right.
But it got to be right. You know,
yeah.
I see.
Yeah. Okay. All right. This Hall of Fame legend, Frank Gore, okay? Chris Sims on Button. Hope you enjoyed it. Peace out.
Peace.
At C Sims QB on Twitter, at Sims on Button on Instagram, and I got a freaking homework assignment for somebody out there, all right? I mean, come on. You know I try to, like, be a man of the people and answer your questions. Here's my homework assignment I'm asking. Tell one friend to subscribe, rate, review at the Chris Sims Unbuttoned podcast. Please, get into it. Let's go. I don't care if you like me or not. If you don't like me, then still join, watch, challenge me on my thoughts. I don't think I'm like all know-all, be-all, but I know I work at it and have fun, and I might say some colorful bad words along the way and have some fun doing that as well. But please, that's your homework assignment. I'm just asking the homies for that right there. I don't ask for much, okay? That's all I'm asking for, okay? While you're sitting on your back porch drinking a beer or smoking your sativa, just get a friend to subscribe to the Chris Sims Unbuttoned podcast. See ya.
Oh, yeah. I got one of my buddies here. My buddy, my favorite Jewish friend, Tariq Cohen. What up, man?
Chutzpah.
Yeah, chutzpah. L'chaim. Let me just tell you, this is where, like, we hit it off last year on our podcast. Look at Peter King. He's giggling. We got him giggling about it. He's like, what the hell are these two idiots
That's
talking about?
Some soup down there.
So I see you, right? Green Bay, opening week.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I'm out there, and I don't want to annoy you. I give you a wave, but then I went out and said hi. And what'd you say to me?
What, some Jewish slang?
Yeah, you did. You said something L'chaim or something like that. And I just said, that's my man
there. That's how we greet each other now.
Yeah. All right. I mean, this year, what the fuck happened this year? I mean, like, give me your, like, Tariq Cohen scouting report of the 2019 Bears.
I feel like we could never get it going. We could never get consistent with anything as far as, you know, any phase of the game. Offensively, we never got on the ball and just got clicking the way that we were supposed to, the way that everybody thought we was.
Right.
I feel like that really held back the whole team.
Yeah, I mean, it was like the phrase I always use is, like, I don't know what the identity of the offense was as compared to the year before. You know, is there any aspect of it? I mean, was it the lack of running game to help you? Was it Trubisky's health? I mean, anything there that you think contributed it?
I really just feel like, you know, it's just the overall point of not having an identity. I feel like the games where we tried to instill the run in the game, you know, we did that. And then the games that it wasn't there, it just wasn't there. You know, it was no consistency in anything that we did. We couldn't pass the ball when we needed it to. Like, it was never like, okay, they're a dominant passing team. And there was never, like, they're a dominant run team. So,
yeah, right.
You know, we never really got rolling.
There was never one thing that the defense had to go, oh, we're playing the Bears. We got to stop this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And, I mean, was it frustrating for you in the fact that, you know, you were such a staple of the offense in 2018, and then 2019 is very spotty, right?
Yeah.
I know. I mean, how does that affect you as an individual player?
It was very frustrating. You know, not having a season I thought I was going to have. Thought I was, like, destined for, like, a crazy year.
Right.
And, you know, during the season, it was real frustrating. You know, I feel like it got to me a little bit mentally. And then, but now looking back on it, it's going to do nothing but motivate me for this year coming up.
Yeah.
I'm only going to look at myself, you know. I don't look at any other factors out there. I feel like how I play is always determined by me at the end of the day.
Right.
So I feel like, you know, I got things to work on this offseason.
Yeah, no, I know you hold yourself accountable. You do need some freaking help, though. I'll just tell you that much. I mean, I get sick of, like, all right, Trubisky, it wasn't the greatest year. I get it.
Yeah.
But like, be Mitchell Trubisky's hype man. Like, what do people not know about him? What aspect of his game do you like? Like, I'm so sick of always kind of talking about him.
I love his leadership, you know, behind closed doors. You know, he's really not going to do it for the media.
Right.
You know, he's not into that. He's not into, you know, the pregame speeches for the cameras at the beginning of the game.
Right.
Like, he's just not that guy. He don't want to, he's going to let us know how he feels behind closed doors in the locker room. And then on the field, you know, I love the way he's just an improv player. You know, if play breaks down, you know, he can scramble with his legs and still use his arm, keep his eyes downfield.
Yeah.
For example, the 49ers game, that last drive he put together, it was just crazy, you know, watching that happen.
Right. I know. I feel like he didn't run as much.
I mean, the Denver Bronco game.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't think he played the 49ers this year. Yeah. But, I mean, I feel like he lost that a little bit this year at certain points where I wanted to always be like, run, or like, run more. Like, I used to see it. I mean, do you think the injury affected that?
I'm not sure what it was. I think it was a little timid to run it even before the injury. But I feel like the coaches was definitely instilling that in him to get back to that. You know, he felt like the coaches were telling him, you know, that's what defenders are scared of the most, you know, is your legs.
Right.
And when you open it up through your legs, it also helps your arm.
You think the locker room still got confidence in him and everything that way? I mean, sometimes it's hard as a player because you hear the media always shitting on the guy and everything like that. You can, like, fall to that trap too.
Yeah, I feel like we still have the confidence in him. Reason behind that is just the confidence he has in himself.
Yeah.
And his work ethic. You can see it day in, day out. You know, he hates performing the way that, you know, he does when it's a bad game.
Right.
And we know that it's not always his fault. Even though it might show it on paper as his fault, we know we could have ran better routes.
Yeah.
He was dropping a lot of passes this year.
Could have blocked better.
Exactly. So it's not always his fault.
Yeah. I mean, I got history with you. You're my guy. I know you, like, before we came on camera here, you're like, I've already started working out. Like, I know you're pissed. You got an edge about the way the year went. I know you do. Like, what are you doing this time of the year? Like, how do you start off getting back into shape, and where does it kind of crescendo to when it comes to OTAs?
I feel like this year I'm going to go heavy in the weight room, lower body-wise. I feel like I lost some explosion in my legs this year, so I want to go heavy in the weight room, lower body-wise.
Like power clean, squat, and get back into, like, squats, some of that college working out.
Yeah, we don't squat as much in season.
Right.
So I definitely want to get that in the off season, you know, and then – towards camp, towards OTAs, get back into, you know, the conditioning phase.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know, you know, some of the great running backs I was around in my career, Monday during the season, and it became a staple for me.
It was squat.
They would squat and lift, move heavy weight. And, like, when you're a young kid, you're like, I don't want to do that. I'm beat up after the game.
Yeah, exactly.
But when you start to go, wait, you do have to build yourself up at some point to get back that explosiveness and strength. So you're going to try to incorporate that in the season too?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I feel like that's the best part of my game, you know, the explosion. Me changing direction quickly, and you can't do none of that without your legs.
Yeah. What is like when you're talking, like, you want to move some weight and stuff too? Like, what kind of weight are we talking about? All right. First off, 5'6".
Yeah.
185.
185 right now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You see that? I know how to look at a man and size him up.
Shoulders.
And all right. So I want to hear some numbers. Like, what do you think you're squatting? Like, what if you're gonna start doing, like, reps of five? All right.
Reps of five. I probably can do like 285, 290. It depends on how many reps of five I'm doing. I might even put 305 on the bar.
Right.
Get five reps in.
And you're going to get into, like, doing, like, one rep, two rep, like, that kind of thing as we go in here?
I haven't looked at my weight training program that far yet, but I think because right now I just did, a set of 10, two sets of 8, two sets of 6. So right now we high reps right now. But we most likely get into the single reps, double reps.
Yeah. All right. I want to hear what you're plugging today. All right? Like, what you here for on behalf of what?
Polaris, you know, they got a new slingshot coming out. I pulled up with one last year at the training camp. I had the 2019 version, but now the 2020 version is out, and it's no longer just a standard transmission. They're automatic now, so everybody, even for people who can't drive as well as me and drive a standard transmission, they can drive.
Oh, you think you can drive well?
Definitely. I'm definitely the best driver. So then they can drive now. So, you know, be on the lookout for that. It's all new steering wheel, transmission in it, suspension system. And also, you can go to the website, Polaris.com, and enter the win one in the sweepstakes. You just type in, it's automatic, and you automatically enter.
I've seen them around town where I live, in, like, the New York area a little bit. Can somebody like me, I can fit in there?
Yeah, you can fit in there.
Yeah,
you got an adjustable seat. You know?
Yeah.
You might not know how to drive one, but you can fit in.
How dare you talk to me like that on my show? How
might
dare
not be
you?
A speed demon. You know?
You don't. I'm from fucking New Jersey, man. I can drive, all right?
Y'all be in traffic all the time.
Yeah, we are in traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah, where'd you grow up?
North Carolina. No traffic.
No traffic, so you know how to go 100 is what you're telling me.
Yes, sir.
All right, don't get pulled over this offseason and do something stupid.
That was last year.
What about Club Dub 2.0? Damn, there's Lawrence Taylor walking by us right now. Hey, what's up?
Hold on. I got a long time since I've seen you.
I know, right? You're the man.
Okay.
You're the man. It's great seeing you.
You look great, man.
Thanks a lot, LT. Thanks, man. I had to say hi.
Oh, yeah.
I'm good at faking it. Yeah, I'm good at it.
Oh,
sorry
yeah.
about that.
His niece actually was equipment manager at my school.
Is that right?
Yeah, while I was there.
Yeah. Yeah, LT goes, you know, he played with my dad back in the day,
yeah.
and I haven't seen him in forever. And, like, in your eyes, just speaking to him, right, who's the Lawrence Taylor of football right now?
Khalil Mack.
I knew you were going to say
Gotta
that.
Be.
You damn homer.
This is, like, the same size, though.
Yeah, I mean.
LT big is on the one. I didn't know he was that big. I seen him outside smoking a cigar.
Yeah, he stays smoking a cigar. Yeah. I know. He's 6'3", 255. He's like Khalil Mack. He's probably a little taller.
At back, yeah, I think he's taller. At backer.
That's crazy. Club Dub 2.0. I mean, where are we going with that?
I don't know. It might be less clothing. I don't know. I don't know where we can go. I think that's what everybody wants to do now.
You got to find something new.
Yeah, we got to win consistently, though. Because the club does that. The sprinkle clubs dubs are not as hype as, you know, the consistent ones.
Before you go, who's winning the Super Bowl? Give me the Super Bowl. Give me the MVP.
I'm an offensive guy, so I'm definitely going to go with the most high-powered offense.
Oh, my coach came from Kansas City.
No, definitely not. Not at all, because they beat us this year. So only reason I'm going for them is because Tyreek Hill, that's a close friend, and I just love the high-powered offense.
Yeah, yeah, you got some Tyreek Hill qualities about you. You got a rocket up
your ass. Our name close to each other.
Yeah, here it is. It is. He's not a part of the Hebrew tribe, though.
Nah, he didn't get that.
He is not. All right, man, you're the man. Good luck this year, all right?
Appreciate that.
Polaris, check that out. Slingshot, Tariq Cohen. He's got a slingshot for two legs. He's the man. He's the man.
Appreciate it, man.
We'll have a glass of scotch and chill out a little bit, watch the film, and, I'm my biggest critic.
Well, we're going to digest this one first tomorrow. I would probably just tell him go home and have a scotch.
I'm feeling really good. I'm going to, probably have a little scotch, and it feels good to win. Scotch tastes better, as it always does. Thank you.
Aaron Rodgers likes his scotch, win, lose, or otherwise. Happy scotch, sad scotch.
Scotch.
Scotch. Just scotch. Have a scotch.
I hear that.
Aaron Jones joining us now, Packers running back. You ever scotch with Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
I have not. I'm not much of a scotch drinker. I'm not much of a drinker, so.
Not much of a drinker at all.
Za'Darius told us yesterday, Za'Darius Smith said that Aaron Rodgers' motto is the team that drinks together wins together.
That's a great motto to have. That means we're getting close together. That means we're hanging out outside the facility.
Doesn't always have to be drinking, Mike. Can do other things, too, just letting you know. I was on some close teams that did more than, drinking.
I don't know what
like
you're talking
alcohol.
About. I'm
talking about daddy cigars that sometimes they smoke together, too, and it's a good team. We've heard from so many Packers, Rodgers, teammates, everything like that. Talk about, what a fun year was. What a fun team was it. Why? What was it about it?
Oh, yeah. It was like a brotherhood. It felt like we were in college. You get your group of guys and you're hanging out. You guys all like groups of guys. You guys go do different things together. Whether it go be a movie, bowling, just different things, and Monday night games at people's houses. Just different things we weren't doing before. And just doing those things together, and it brings you closer.
Why are you guys doing this year? Like what brought it all together?
I'd say our leaders.
Yeah.
I think that's really where it started. They made a certain effort to pick that up, and then you just start seeing other guys do it and other guys do it. And like before, we never had us as running backs, we never had a running back dinner.
Right.
And I see those leaders start to do it and bring us together, then I'm like, hey, let's have a running back dinner. So things like that.
I just want to hear, when you say leaders, who are you talking about? Give me some names. Who's the first?
A-Rod, Za'Darius, Mercedes Lewis, Preston.
Okay. So they set the tone in the locker room, and then it kind of went from there.
Yes, sir.
And those are names that Aaron Rodgers rattled off after the loss to the 49ers, that those are the guys that Brian Gutekunst, the GM, brought in who have that leadership mentality. And then Coach LaFleur empowered guys to lead. and let them do their thing. How impressed were you by this young guy? And none of us for sure what kind of a coach he was going to be, but it looks like he did a pretty good job getting you guys on the same page.
Definitely. I was very impressed. I mean, from day one, he came in and showed us what the offense was going to be. And we're all kind of like, whoa, this is a lot. And then as you go through the year and you're kind of like, oh, we're doing exactly what he said we're going to be doing. And he brings a lot of energy every day and it's contagious. Everybody wants to be around him and he makes it a fun atmosphere to come to work.
You have you ready to play, right? But we talked to Za'Darius yesterday. For whatever reason, you guys weren't ready to play in the state of California this year. Like, what's your assessment of that? Like, what about the trip or what is it?
I don't have any excuses. I mean, you just got to be ready to play ball. I mean,
yeah.
The trip's a trip. I mean, teams have to make trips every week, so I don't use that as an excuse. I mean, I was ready to play ball. I'm always ready to play ball. So,
Did you sense that some of your teammates weren't ready? Because Za'Darius admitted he wasn't ready for that game. He wasn't ready to play, and other guys weren't ready either.
No, I couldn't sense it. I mean, all week, the energy was there. I mean, everybody felt confident. Hey, this is our second chance at this. We're going to go back and handle business. It's not often that you get a second chance at things in life, and we get a second chance at this, so let's make it right. So, I mean, I felt like everybody had bought in and everything, so I definitely didn't get that sense.
Not even pregame, you thought everything was ready to go?
Yeah, not even pregame. I felt like everything was ready to go, but they just seemed to be flying around a little bit more.
Right. So let's break that down. I mean, you're one of those guys that played both teams this year. Like, tell us, you know, things or, you know, the goods and the bads. Give us the scouting report.
So, I mean, you know, San Francisco, they got that front four. They pin their ears back, pressure, they get after it. I feel like if you can kind of neutralize them, might need a tight end or back to chip.
Extra pass protection.
Definitely some help scheming that up. I feel like give Patrick a little bit of time and he'll be good. And then their offense, if you can stop the run, that's the biggest thing for them. If you can stop San Francisco's run game, I feel like it'd make Jimmy Garoppolo beat you.
Right.
He's capable, but make him beat you.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like that's the key.
Do you feel like you get enough credit for what you did this year? You had 19 touchdowns. 19.
No, sir. I definitely don't. But I'm used to being slept on. It's something.
Didn't go to the Pro Bowl.
Didn't go to the Pro Bowl, but it's something
anything.
Like I'm used to. So. Just continue to work, put my head down, and let that mountain on my shoulder continue to grow higher.
I will say this, though. At one point during the season, Aaron Rodgers goes public and says Aaron Jones should be getting MVP consideration.
That's my quarterback.
Yeah.
No, that felt great. I mean, coming from a future Hall of Famer, MVP himself, like, and he feels that I should be in that conversation. I'm not getting talked enough about, and he takes it upon himself to do that, and that's just another part of why he's such a great leader.
Yeah, right. I mean, okay. Like, what's your – and you know, I know you're not the GM of the football team, but, hey, it's the off season. We're getting here. Like, any specific thing you want to see about the Packers improve? Like, I've been beating the drum. Like, I want another, like, top-end receiver. And that's no disrespect to guys out there, but I think it takes pressure off you, LaFleur, who wants to run the ball, and, of course, helps Rodgers and Davante Adams in that connection.
I definitely agree. I mean, say you put somebody on the field like that, they can't look at me or Tay. And,
they can't double or extra guys in the box.
It brings a different element to the game as well.
Right.
And, I think Tyler Irvin, who came in, kind of helped us with that, bringing a different element, speed.
Right, a little speed and explosive.
Yeah, yeah. So I feel like when he came in, that helped us a lot.
Right,
so.
Yeah. So you look at the Niners and go, look at the speed they got on that side of the ball, and you don't know who the hell is going to get it. Debo, Emmanuel, Kittle, running backs.
All around. I mean, even the fullback. They have weapons, and they can all fly, they can all move and athletic.
Right.
You know, so much about the 2019 season came down to Week 17, Sunday Night Football, 49ers and Seahawks. And, I mean, if Jacob Hollister gets a couple more inches, if they throw pass interference when they should have thrown pass interference a couple plays earlier, you guys are the one seed. The road to the Super Bowl is going through Green Bay, and you're not here today.
Right. If they don't get that penalty.
I mean, there should have been pass interference in the end zone. I mean, there's so
you're not
crazy.
Here.
Right.
You're not here. Aaron Rodgers' picture's up on that wall, and you guys are getting ready to play in a game.
To
see a whole season, to see how much rides on that one moment, how frustrating was it for you guys to have Seattle not win that game?
I mean, it wasn't frustrating. I mean, we knew we were going to have to – if San Francisco is going to be in the championship, they're going to be here regardless.
You want to come to Lambeau Field, though.
Definitely. We wanted everything to go through Lambeau. So that was the only thing that was a little disappointing. But once we found out, hey, it's going to go through San Fran, we kind of already knew that once we lost there.
Yeah.
Early in the season, some of the guys had already said it, hey,
we're going to have to go there again.
Yeah, we're going to come back and we're going to beat them, and it's going to be different this time. And it didn't happen, but yeah. We did end up going back.
Yeah, but you're aware of it. You're aware.
So who's your pick for Sunday?
I honestly just want to see a good game. I have Patrick Mahomes is my boy. Jeffrey Wilson is my boy. So both different teams. So I just want to see a good game.
Oh, yeah, come on. You and that crap, you know.
I do want to see a good game. No. I mean, I play both of them in.
Can we get the Jones family to come up here? Come on, Jones family, first off. Because I want you to say this. Like, your parents, this is the second time I've been around you. I know they're an integral part of your life. Like,
definitely.
And
definitely.
I know your dad's got the military background. I've met bro before out in San Francisco. Right.
Welcome.
Like,
was
dad the kind of guy, like, when you messed up, he was like, all right, hit the ground, give me 20. Like, was that your kind of punishment you had to deal with dad?
Him and my mom was in the army as well. So,
okay, ready to crack that whip, mom.
Hello, how are you?
Chris.
Nice to meet you.
So, you guys go to every game?
Yes.
Preseason, regular season, every game?
Yes.
Wow.
They're always there. So, I make sure I look at that ticket and make sure I know where they're sitting at. So always find them.
Damn, I didn't know you got the whole crew. You got the posse
sister,
here. I mean, you got everybody. It's unbelievable.
Mom, sister, brother, dad, uncle.
Awesome.
All right. Yeah. Well, it's great having you all here.
That's a great support system. It really
definitely is.
Wait, so, Weck, when he acted up bad, right? All right, if he did, like, bad grades, something, like, what'd you make him do? Like, what was the punishment in the Jones house?
Right, he
didn't
get bad grades.
So that wasn't an option.
The punishment was you not playing sports.
Okay, so grades were going to come. All right, and then what if he acted up or talked back to dad, maybe? Like, what was that?
That never happened.
Damn, so.
They trained us well at a young age.
Apparently they did. Yeah, he didn't get.
With them two. Get on each other's nerves, you know, they got that twin thing going on.
Right.
My wife came up with this form of discipline. She called it love therapy. And she made them hold hands wherever they went.
Oh, like, I love
16
it.
16 years old, holding hands in the
Wait,
mall.
Wait, well, can you do it? Let's see. I want to see what it looks like.
Little love therapy.
Sure.
Jones brother, twin love therapy.
Oh, how cute. Oh, you're so cute, you two. You're so cute.
So when mom's not looking, this is what we do. We hold each other's wrists.
right. That's awesome.
Hey, it's great. Thanks, y'all, for coming up. Aaron, great talking to you. Congratulations. 19 touchdowns. Folks, he had 19 touchdowns. Give these guys some credit.
Yeah.
MVP candidate, according to Aaron Rodgers. Are you kidding me?
All right, that's it for the Monday podcast. Hope everybody enjoyed the interviews. Hey, check some of these out. All right, check them out on the NBC Sports YouTube page. It's worth it, especially the Frank Gore one. You can literally see his anger. His leg is shaking. His lips are shaking. He wants to beat the crap out of me. I think it's worth the watch. And it's worth the watch, I think, also with Dak Prescott. We get into some of the quarterback stuff, and he gives some of the examples of grip, technique, things like that. Thursday podcast, okay? We're in the off season, and as I said, right now, I'm on the beach in Turks and Caicos. I'm baking. I just had to reapply, okay? Because I'm really white, and I had to put the 50 back on, all right? But Thursday's podcast, I got a few more coming. Russell Wilson, had a really good conversation with him. Talked about a lot of different things with the Seattle Seahawks. Max Crosby, all right? Defense end, Oakland Raiders, awesome rookie year. Had some fun with him. We talked about the one thing we have in common, which is we were both coached by the psycho, John Gruden. Got a few stories there. And then Jake Fromm, quarterback from Georgia, coming out in the draft. Will he be a first rounder? Where will he go? I don't know. I'm not sure yet. I haven't evaluated the draft, but I know I was impressed. That's another one I'm going to tell you. Check it out on the NBC Sports YouTube page. It'll be worth it. Watch him spin the ball a little bit. He talks about some quarterback technique stuff and all of that. It was great to meet him. You know, he does have the personality and charisma, I think, of his starting NFL quarterback. That's Thursday's podcast. Check it out. Peace out. I'm done. Sims.
Justin and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.